turning to Exodus in the chapter 17. And if we had a subject, or if we give a subject to what we want to deal with tonight, it would be giving a helping hand. Giving a helping hand. We see here in Exodus chapter 17, we'll begin our reading at verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And he took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Amen. I pray the Lord will be pleased to speak to us from this portion of God's holy and precious word. Maybe we could just bow our heads together for a brief word of prayer. Our loving God and most gracious Heavenly Father, we bow humbly in thy holy presence this evening. Lord, we have come to seek thy face in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for a church that believes in prayer. And Lord, the many of our congregations that have made this week a week of prayer. We pray, our God, that thou will move in this land of Ulster. Send a mighty outpouring of thy Spirit in answer to prayer. God answers prayer. Lord, do it for us, we pray. Again, we thank thee for this congregation, for our friends here that we have had fellowship with over the years. We thank thee, Lord, for thy servant who ministers here. We ask thee, Lord, that each time he mounts the pulpit, that, Lord, thou would fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And, Lord, it is that power that we need this evening. Lord, a day is far spent, and it is toward evening. Lord, come and abide with us. Grant to me, dear Lord, the help of the Holy Spirit of God, that, Lord, we might be enabled to preach the word. And, Lord, always to preach Christ. Make much of his finished work and his shed blood. In the Savior's dear name we pray. Amen. Exodus 17. There in verse 12 we read a very familiar verse of Scripture. But Moses' hands were heavy. And he took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Our reading tonight began with the words, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." But who were the Amalekites? The Amalekites were descendants of Esau. In fact, Amalek himself was a grandson of Esau. We read in Genesis 36 and verse 12, "And Timnah was a concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek." So Amalek descended from Esau, who, we all recall, sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, indicating he was a very fleshly individual. And in so doing, we know that he despised his birthright. It's interesting that the name Amalek means warlike. And it was this warlike tribe that came against Israel. And being a warlike tribe, Moses certainly did not enter into any common ground agreement with them. He didn't seek to compromise with them, but rather he took the battle to them. Likewise, for us, there is no room for compromise with our enemy. He wages war against us and against the work of God. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we must take the battle to the devil as Moses did with Amalek. But Moses wasn't alone in the fight against Amalek. He was given a helping hand, as it were, given a helping hand with Joshua, Aaron, and Hur. And as we've indicated, that's our subject for this evening, the theme for tonight, giving a helping hand. And certainly giving a helping hand in the matter of prayer and fighting the enemy of our souls and the enemy of the work of God. I want, first of all, to consider Moses and the attack. That is, the attack from Amalek. We see that it was Amalek who fought with Israel. So the Amalekites initiated this attack, unprovoked. Regarding this attack, we see that it was a sudden attack. Amalek came against Israel without any warning. You notice there what it says in the verse 8, "Then came Amalek." Just then. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel." Israel had just been given water. Moses had taken the rod of God and smote the rock, and out of the rock came the water, and Israel was satisfied. And so, just at that time, there was a great calm in the camp of Israel. Prior to that, they had been complaining and complaining and complaining against Moses. There was no bread, and they complained. There was no water that they could drink at Marah, and they complained. They came to the rock, and there was no water, and they complained again. But now there is kind of a calm. It was then that Amalek came against Israel. That's typified for us in a phrase that we find over in Acts chapter 27. There in Acts 27, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner for the Lord. And we read in Acts 27 and verse 13. He's in the great ship from Alexandria, being transported to another location. And we read there in verse 13 of Acts 27, "And when the south wind blew softly." So there was a time of great calm. The south wind blew softly. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to by Crete. So it was all right to sail, because the south wind blew softly. But then you look at the next verse, and things change, and change suddenly. For it says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. A tempestuous wind. And we read, and we're familiar with that chapter, and you read on down, and the men on the ship thought they were all going to perish. Such was the severity of the storm. Isn't it like that sometimes in the Lord's work? When the south wind blows softly. When things go on day by day, week by week, and month by month, and everything is calm and there's no trouble, and then suddenly, without warning, a storm breaks upon us. The devil comes against us suddenly, when we least expect it. So for Israel, they were enjoying a peaceful time after the Lord had supplied them with water out of the riven rock. But then, it says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel. This reminds us of the words of Peter, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Not too far from Port Hope, there is a small zoo, a small lion park. And one time we brought our Christian school there. We happened to go there at round about 1 o'clock. And it turned out that that time of the day was the feeding time for the lions. And what struck me was how restless those lions were. There they were in their enclosure, and they just went up and down and up and down and across. They were restless because it was feeding time. Is that what Peter was speaking about here? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. When it comes to the Lord's work, we always need to be vigilant because of our adversary. He's the roaring lion. And that day we were at that lion park. Boy, did those lions roar, because they were hungry. Our adversary is hungry. He wants to devour the work of God. So it was a sudden attack. It was also a subtle attack. You turn there to Deuteronomy chapter 25. And reference is made to the attack from the Amalekites. And there we read in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost. So Amalek didn't come against Israel face on. No, this was a subtle attack. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Faint and weary. That's when Amalek came against Israel. at the hindmost, at their weakest point, when they were faint and weary. Just as the devil takes advantage of us when we are faint and weary. Matthew 4. You have the record there of the temptation of the Lord. 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, tempted of the devil. What was his first temptation? There the Lord, who is God, yes, we know, but he's also man. And as man, he thirsted, he hungered, he was tired, he wept, he was weary, just as men are. And there's the Lord. He'd been in the wilderness for that length of time. He would have been hungry. And the first temptation that came to Christ from the devil was, turn these stones into bread. Whenever the body would have been at its weakest. He hasn't changed. He will attack us when we are weak and weary. And you apply that to the Lord's work. Those involved in the full-time service of the Lord grow weak and weary. Not weary of the work, but weary in the work. And often think of our missionaries. And there they are, away from home. And many of them laboring alone. I'm sure they get weak and weary betimes. I know what it's like, and I'm not, as it were, out there in the mission field. But I know in the Lord's work there in Port Hope, I do. Weak and weary. You know, you're praying, and you're praying for new families, and the families don't come in. My poor wife has to listen to my complaining on a Sabbath evening. And then Monday comes. You think, well, I better get ready for next Lord's Day, and you just get back into the routine again. But you tell you, you grow faint and weary. And I tell you, you feel like giving up at times. But be honest. And I'm sure others feel that way. Feel like just giving up. Jeremiah felt like that. Jeremiah said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Because Jeremiah had preached and preached, and the people weren't listening. He got so discouraged, weak and weary. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Then he goes on to say that the word of the Lord was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And that's so true. You get discouraged. And you're downhearted, and you're almost defeated. But God has called you to preach the word, and that's all you want to do. And you get over the discouragement, and you get back into the study, and you get ready for the next Sabbath day, because you just want to preach. But the point is, you do grow weak. Was not only a sudden attack and a subtle attack, it was a satanic attack, this attack by Amalek against Israel. It was satanic. Of course, any attack that is waged against the people of God and the work of God is satanic. And Amalek's attack was no different. Over there, that portion we read in Deuteronomy 25, there in the verse 18, we read how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, he feared not God. Didn't fear the God of Israel. He didn't care about the God of Israel or about God's people. But that's not all. Go back there to Exodus 17. And you look there at the verse 16. And there in Exodus 17 and verse 16, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, if you have a Bible margin, you can read that for yourself. How it can be translated in another way. And what is that other way? The hand of Amalek is against the throne of God. Hand of Amalek is against the throne of the Lord or the throne of God. The attack upon Israel was actually an attack upon the God of Israel. He would dare to raise his hand against the throne of heaven, all to hinder Israel and all to hinder the work of God. And that's the dirty business that the devil's involved in. We face a formidable enemy, so we all need to give a helping hand in the work and to see the work go forward and God be glorified and the devil defeated. Praise the Lord. To defeat the devil, and we can do that together. Give a helping hand. So it's not left up to the minister in the session alone. We can all give a helping hand. And that's what we see next. You have Moses and the attack. And then you have Moses and his action. On previous occasions when Israel was in a crisis, Moses knew what to do. Moses, the mighty man of God. Whenever Moses is referred to, he's not referred to as a man of God. He's always referred to as Moses, the man of God. And you look at the life of Moses and you see a life like Christ. He was a Christ-like man. He was. Every time Israel complained, no water at Marah. In fact, they complained, you know, when they came to the Red Sea. They complained there against Moses. They blamed Moses for the predicament they were in because Pharaoh's chariots were in pursuit and there was a Red Sea in front of them, and they complained. They came to Marah, bitter water, they complained again. They had no bread, complained again. There was no water when they came to the rock. And they actually went as far as threatening to stone Moses. But what did he do every time? Every time. Moses did the same thing every time. He prayed. He did what the Lord has told us to do. Israel had set themselves up as Moses' enemy. And what did the Lord say? Love your enemies. Pray for them who despitefully use you. And every time Israel came against Moses and complained and chided with Moses, he didn't argue with them. No, he did not argue with them. He just went immediately to the Lord and said to the Lord, what shall I do? This people be ready to stone me. He took his burden to the Lord in prayer. And here he does the same thing. Here Israel faces another crisis, and once again this man of God knew what to do. First of all, you see his preparation. Moses wasted no time in making preparation for the conflict with the help of others. Look at verse 9. Amalek has come against Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. There's the preparation. Here's something interesting. This is the first time we read of Joshua. You think of Joshua, a well-known man in the Bible, well-known character. Every child in Sabbath school has heard of Joshua. And yet here, this is the first time he's mentioned. And you think of all that happened before he's mentioned here. The Red Sea crossing, again the coming to Marah. The crisis regarding no bread. And again, no water. And Joshua's not mentioned until now. All that time he's been in the background. All that time he's been in the shadows, as it were. But Moses knew that Joshua was there in the camp. It was time now for Joshua to step forward. And what? Give a helping hand. Here we see, first of all, the order for Joshua. A man who had stayed in the background is suddenly called upon to help in the fight against Amalek. Joshua was now called upon to choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Notice what he said, what Moses said. Choose us out men. In other words, Moses was saying to Joshua, we're in this together. Choose us out, men, and go and fight against Amalek. The man who had been in the background, it was time for him to come forward. There was a need to be met, a battle to be fought. It was now time for Joshua to come to the fore and put his hand to the work. Joshua wasn't a Moses. Joshua wasn't an Aaron. Joshua wasn't a Hur. But God had a work for Joshua to do. Not everyone is called to the mission field. Not everyone will hold office in church. Not everyone will occupy a pulpit. Not everyone, but there's always something for every man and woman to do in the work of God. Always. And sometimes when believers stay in the background, when there's a need to be met, it's a need for them to step forward. People say, well, what can I do? To turn, please, to Romans 16. Familiar portion of Scripture. Here's Paul, and he's looking back, and he's mentioning here that the chapter's all about names of individuals who helped him. If you like, give a helping hand. Romans 16, Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant. Mark the word. Which is a servant of the church. She's a servant of the church. which is at St. Creed. You say, well, what service did she render? What was her service? Paul goes on to say, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatever business. Whatever business she hath need of you, listen, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Succorer. That word means an encourager. What do you think of that? That was her service in the church. And here's Paul, and he mentions her. And you think of all the names, or read through that chapter, and all the names that he mentions, and all the things they did, and who's at the head of the list? Phoebe. He mentions her first. Some might think she should come at the end. No, she's mentioned first. Because Paul knew the value of having somebody in the church who was an encourager. That we all need encouragement. The servant of the Lord needs encouragement. When the service is over and we go out and shake hands with the preacher, it'd be good to give him a wee word of encouragement. Say, brother, thank you for that word. That's what Phoebe did. Now what Paul says, she was being a succorer of many and of myself also. She encouraged me. She encouraged me. I'll tell you an amusing incident. I know when we went through the theological hall, Dr. Cook says, you know, every church has their wee woman. And she'll support the minister no matter what. Well, I had one of those wee women in Newton Abbey. She was Mrs. Craig. And one harvest time, I had the Reverend Stanley Barnes preach for me. Well, I introduced him and said I was glad to have the Reverend Barnes here today. So when he came up to speak, thank Mr. Cranston for the words of welcome. He says I paid particular attention to his singing. He says his singing was heavenly because it was like nothing on earth. I would agree with him. I didn't argue. But Mrs. Craig, I happened to be visiting her a couple of days later. And she says, Mr. Cranston, did you hear what Mr. Barnes said about your singing? If I'd have been near him, I'd have hit him with my handbag. She was going to support the minister. She was an encourager. Phoebe was an encourager. Look at the next verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. They helped me. What do? They gave a helping hand. They're my helpers in Christ who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Galatians. Look at verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Now, Phoebe wasn't an office bearer, or this Mary wasn't an office bearer, or she wasn't a pastor and there weren't ministers. But we see what they did. They gave a helping hand. They gave a helping hand. And I believe it's good for God's people in the house of the Lord or wherever aspect of work they have access to, to be able to say, can I give a helping hand? What can I do to help? A helping hand. As well as the order for Joshua, you notice the obedience of Joshua. We see how Joshua responded to the order of Moses, and Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. Verse 10. He was a man who had been in the background all along until Moses called on him and gave him this order to choose out men to fight Amalek. And we read then, and Joshua did as Moses said. No argument. No debate, no excuses. Didn't show any reluctance. Instead, Joshua did as Moses had said to him. Oh, that we would all show the same willingness to lend a helping hand. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Not half-heartedly, but with your might. I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus. Because he's done so much. As well as the preparation, you have the praying. Joshua's work involved fighting Amalek in the plain of Rephidim. Rephidim means the plains. So there was Joshua down in the plain. Moses would engage himself in another part of the battle. Verse 10, again, Moses said that he would go up, he, Aaron and Hur, went up to the top of the hill. So they're down in the plains. We have Joshua fighting, and Moses and Aaron and Hur go up the hill. And what would he do? He would lift up his hand, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. The holding up of hands is emblematic of prayer and supplication. We know that from Psalm 28, verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle. Paul said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That's what Moses was doing on the hill. He was praying. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. See how prayer always brings a man up to higher ground. They've gone up the hill to pray. Prayer always brings us to higher spiritual ground. And Moses went up, and Moses stood there on the top of the hill with hands lifted up to God in prayer. You think of Joshua, and he's down below in the plain. And he's in the middle of the battle with Amalek. Can you imagine how that encouraged Joshua when he looked up and saw the man of God stand with his hand toward heaven? He knew there was a man praying for him. I tell you something. Only those involved in full-time work really fully appreciate the prayers of God's people. When you come home to Ulster, and they're still home, when you come home to Ulster and go around our churches, you have individuals that say, brother, I pray for you every day. I pray for your church every day. You don't know how much of an encouragement that is. And can you imagine the encouragement that Joshua had when he looked up and saw Moses standing there with hands raised to heaven, praying. He was in the plain below, but Moses was there on the hill praying. They were in it together. You turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Romans 13, verse 30, Paul says, "Now I beseech you." That's a strong word. "I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake." It's as if Paul is saying, "Brethren, if you don't do it for me, do it for the Lord." "I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." You strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That word beseech, Paul used it often. Now hear the word in this verse 30 of Romans 15. "Now I beseech you." That word beseech means to call to one side. As if Paul was saying, "I'm calling you to my side. Will you stand with me? I beseech you, brethren, will you come and stand beside me with your prayers?" No, they couldn't stand beside him literally, physically, but they could stand beside him with their prayers. That's what he's asking for. "Come and stand beside me." No, Moses did not let Joshua fight the battle alone, because through his prayers, he was standing beside Joshua. He was. Joshua, yes, had a sword in his hand. Moses had the rod of God in his hand. And Moses was standing with Joshua. And we have our many missionaries, and some of them out there laboring alone. Wouldn't it be good if you sent them a letter and sent them a note and say, "Joanne, there in Liberia, I want you to know I'm standing beside you. You may be out there by yourself, but I'm with you. I'm praying for you. I'm standing beside you. I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with you. You're not alone. You're not fighting the battle alone. I'm standing with you." Boy, that's some encouragement. We mentioned there that Joshua would have had the sword in his hand and Moses had the rod of God in his hand. The rod of God, the rod of God, referred to a few times as the rod of God. The rod of God speaks of God's power and authority. Did Moses stretch out his hand over the Red Sea with the rod in his hand and the waters divided? The rod of God. Moses used the rod of God to smite the rock. The rock is a type of Christ. And what was it that Moses used to smite the rock? Was the rod of God, the rod that speaks of God's power and authority. And there on Calvary, Christ was smitten by the rod of God in judgment. And here's Moses, and he's at the top of the hill, and he's the rod of God in his hand, and the rod speaks of power and authority. Moses prayed that day with the power and the authority of God. And so do we. We have the power and the authority of God in our praying. We're bound to win, aren't we? We're bound to be victorious. A brother said that in his opening prayer. We're on the winning side. And when we pray in the power and authority of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Quickly, the preparation, the praying, and then you had the problem. As Moses stood there on that mount with uplifted hands in prayer, we see in verse 12, Moses' hands were heavy. There you have his weariness. Would this not remind us of the words of the Lord Jesus when the Lord said men ought always to pray and not to faint? The Savior recognized the weakness of the flesh, but he exhorts us to pray on. Always to pray and not to faint. The word faint there means don't cave in. The word faint there means don't give up. And here you have the Lord himself telling us to pray on and don't give up. So if the Lord's telling us, you pray on, he must be going to answer. Don't be giving up. Moses experienced that weakness, that fainting. And so it was hard for God's servant to stand on the mount to pray alone. Paul said, let us not be weary. In well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary. Let us not faint. We notice not only the weariness, but the war. Because in verse 11 we read, and it came to pass, Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down the hand, Amalek prevailed. The war was going against Israel when Moses' hands were let down. When he slackened off in prayer, when we slackened off in prayer, the devil prevails. Can't afford to slacken off. As well as the preparation and the praying and the problem, you have the partners. It's interesting that when Moses went up the hill to pray, we're told Aaron and Hur went with him, verse 10. Once again, they're in it together. An indication that they were in the battle together. Joshua in the plains, Moses on the hill, and they had the two partners, Aaron and Hur, and they held up his hands. They were in it together. It's the way, of course, it should be in the Lord's work. You look at the repetition of the word hand, or hands, there in our text. Verse 11, the hand is mentioned twice. In verse 12, Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and set it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one on the one side, and the one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You count the references there to hand or hands, and you'll find they're mentioned five times. Five is the number of grace. Five is the number of grace. And we say, what can I do? Well, by the grace of God, there's many things you can do. God will give you the grace to do it. God will give you the grace to give a helping hand. Paul says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. One last point. You have the perseverance. We see that Moses, Aaron, and Hur persevered. They persevered in prayer. They persevered in prayer. For we read in verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. But look at what went before. We're told that they held up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Persevere. Kept at it. They kept at it till the going down of the sun. Isn't that what we have to do? They not only stood with Moses shoulder to shoulder with him, holding up his hands, and they stood shoulder to shoulder with Joshua. He fought with a sword, and they fought, as it were, prayer and the rod of God. They persevered, and praise the Lord, they prevailed. We'll always prevail. Always. When we persevere and keep at it. Men ought always to pray, Christ said, and not to faint. And you have the last part there, you have the attack, and then you have the action, and then you have Moses and the altar. I haven't time to look at those words, but you have the book, and you have the building, and you have the banner. And it was recorded. I thought that was interesting. Moses, the Lord told Moses to write it in a book and give it Joshua. And you think of Joshua, the great commander and great general of the armies. When he had that book, he could read that book in later time and remind himself of the great victory the Lord gave to Israel at Rephidim. It's good to read the books. Good to read about revival, because it reminds us God is still the same. And God is still on the throne. May you always be ready to give a helping hand.